You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. What belt are you? One of the most common images that comes to mind when thinking of the martial arts is that of a colored belt worn to signify rank in the system. One of the most common questions people ask upon hearing that you practice a martial art is, what belt are you? This stems from the misconception held by many people that all martial arts use belts to signify ranks. Nothing could be further from the truth. In reality, only a small fraction of the martial arts in the world use a belt ranking scheme. It is true, however, that most of the commercially successful arts practiced in the West do use such a scheme. Humans are social animals. Evidence is growing that much of the evolution of our big brain was in adaptation that allowed us to maximize the benefits of living as a member of a group. Attributes and behaviors like our uncanny ability to recognize faces, a huge fraction of our brain power is set aside for this, the tendency for gossiping, and dislike or distrust of those we perceive as outsiders probably developed as a result of this. As social animals, we have a tendency to develop something of a tribal feeling for groups to which we belong. These groups can wear many faces. Fraternities and sororities, being fans of a particular sports team, religious denominations, and yes, martial arts styles. We also have a tendency to develop hierarchies within these groups in order to better understand where we each fit in the pecking order. For good or ill, this is a very human thing to do. Why do some martial arts express hierarchy through the use of belts and others do not? How did belt ranking begin in the first place? One popular origin story turns out to probably be false. The story goes that it was a tradition to refrain from washing your belt and that you can tell the experience level of the practitioner by how darkly stained his or her belt had become. My research, however, uncovered no documented evidence to support this story. I did find extensive documented evidence for a story that begins more than a century ago, when the founder of judo, Jigoro Kano, noticed that Japanese student athletes, especially swimmers, were ranked by color. The best swimmers wore a black ribbon around their waist. Kano was impressed with this system and adapted it for his students. He had already developed the judo uniform, or gi, and the belt that held it together seemed the logical choice to signify the rank color scheme. His first, or at least one of his earliest systems, had beginners sporting a sky blue belt, then progressing to three levels of white belt, then three more of brown, and finally, black belt. The sky blue belt was eventually dropped. Gichin Funakoshi was the man who founded Shotokan Karate and who made Okinawan Karate popular in Japan. He was an associate and admirer of Jigoro Kano, and he adopted the gi, albeit using a lighter fabric, and the belt ranking scheme as well. By the 1920s, most of the popular Japanese and Okinawan systems had adapted belt ranking, and some later practitioners of Japanese martial arts in Europe developed the broader spectrum of colors commonly seen today. The use of belt ranks in Korean martial arts stems from the fact that native Korean martial arts were outlawed for the nearly four decades that Japan ruled over Korea in the first half of the 20th century. Japanese martial culture was the only option for Koreans wishing to train. After the Japanese withdrew from Korea at the end of World War II, Korean martial arts masters began the process of formulating new native systems, the most popular and successful being Taekwondo. Despite their bitterness towards the Japanese, it isn't surprising that they adopted the Japanese-style belt ranking system, since this is the only ranking system they had ever known. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu grew directly out of judo, so again, it isn't surprising that BJJ uses belt ranking. As I stated earlier, a large number of arts do not use belt rankings. Perhaps foremost among them, in population, would be the Chinese martial arts. I'm aware that some small number of them have adopted belt ranking in the modern era, but by and large, Chinese martial arts tend to use the family as a model for the hierarchy. In most Chinese arts, all other practitioners in your system are referred to by titles that correspond to familial relations, like older sibling, younger sibling, uncle, father, grandfather, etc., depending on the other student's seniority in relation to you and your instructor. Students who trained under your instructor's instructor are called by titles that imply aunt or uncle. It is important to understand that there is more than one model for martial arts hierarchy. Okay, so many martial arts use a belt ranking system. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Let's examine some of the positive aspects. Belt ranking can form the basis of structure for a curriculum. When the teacher works one-on-one or with small groups of students, such structure is less necessary. The teacher can see what the student needs most to learn and teach that on the spot. When the class consists of a larger group, a structured syllabus goes a long way towards making sure that none of the students fall through the cracks and miss out on any concepts or techniques. Of course, the syllabus can be structured without ranks, but one positive aspect of ranking is that it does help with structure. Belt ranking, when awarded with rigorous standards, can also act as an incentive for the student to set goals and work towards them. The student, through seeing the different colors of belts around the academy, gets a graphic illustration of the idea of progression, and through seeing the ratio of lower belts to upper belts, he or she can better appreciate that achieving higher rank is neither easy nor automatic. Having intermediate belt level students around, especially if you encourage them to be helpful to beginners, can provide the student with intermediate role models that help bridge the gulf between the head instructor and the beginner, and can help the beginner to understand that while a black belt may seem unattainable now, the next belt is in the realm of possibility. I don't mean to imply that belt ranking is the only or the best way to achieve these positive effects, only that when it is properly implemented, it is a method to do so. What are some potentially negative aspects of belt ranking? Most of them result when the culture and discipline of an academy or instructor are not what they should be. Some who use ranking do not use a testing process, but simply award the rank when they think the student deserves it. Others use a test to determine whether the student deserved promotion. In many cases, the instructor is loath to tell a student when they have failed to perform up to the standards of the test, sometimes even allowing the student to pass anyway, in order to avoid an awkward scene and the possibility of alienating or even losing a paying customer. When standards fail like this on a larger scale, the rank system can become devalued, diluting the quality and reducing the credibility of a martial arts system. Before long, you have people who didn't deserve promotion themselves administering tests to and promoting others who also don't deserve promotion. Thus, a belt rank, and especially a black belt in such a style, grows over time to mean less and less. Another abuse of the belt ranking system is the practice by many of charging exorbitant testing fees. Now, I feel that reasonable testing fees are a positive idea. The person or persons administering the test deserve to be compensated for their time, and the student respects the testing process more if he or she has a bit of skin in the game. Having said that, many of the testing fee amounts I've seen or heard of are, in my opinion, quite simply obscene. Some organizations even take a cue from multi-level marketing. In these cases, the person who administers the test kicks a percentage of each testing fee collected, and it's usually an exorbitant one, up the organizational chart to the person under whom he or she tests. That person then kicks a percentage of his or her take up the chart, and so on, all the way to the person who runs the organization. This sort of fee structure creates a powerful financial incentive to test people often, and incentive to fail very few of those who take the test. An example of another abuse can happen when an instructor feels that his or her status as the paragon of martial arts techniques at the academy is threatened by a gifted, advanced student. Sadly, it is not uncommon for the instructor in such cases to withhold timely promotion to a well-deserved rank in order to keep the gifted student in his or her place. I have also seen ranks withheld because of the race or nationality of the student. I was once told unabashedly by an Asian instructor that the reason there were no Americans over the rank of second degree black belt in his association was that, quote, "You can take mud from the river and make it into a brick, but it will never be a diamond," end quote. Why would martial arts students tolerate this kind of behavior? The fact that they regularly do is a strong indicator that for many people, being promoted to the next belt is very prestigious and quite desirable. This puts the instructor who awards ranks in a position of great power over the student. To me, this power is a sacred trust and should be exercised judiciously as a motivator for positive behavior from the student. Sadly, this power is all too often used by the instructor as a club to be held over the student's head in order to bully, coerce, and rob them. Another negative aspect of the belt ranking system stems from the fact that it is used by so many different styles in so many different ways. There are styles in which you can make it to black belt in 2 or 3 years, roughly equivalent in time to an associate's degree from a community college. In most Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu academies, it takes at least 8 years, and more reasonably 10 years, to reach black belt, roughly equivalent in time to a PhD from a major university. And of course, there exist styles and schools where it takes some amount of time between these extremes. Further, many people labor under the misconception that the black belt means that you have reached the point where there is nothing left to learn. Of course, there is no end to learning, in life or in the martial arts, at least so long as you are willing to continue learning. For these reasons, how do you tell the non-martial artist, in a few sentences, just what a black belt means? For me, the most significant meaning of a rank is when you compare yourself in one time frame, like the present, to yourself in another time frame. For example, how do you as a green belt compare to you as a white belt? When you start comparing yourself to others, real problems can arise. Just as a child in the 5th grade is not necessarily smarter than all 4th graders, so a black belt is not necessarily better than all lower belts. I was a young, idealistic instructor in the late 70s. I had become so disgusted with the many abuses of martial arts ranking that I toyed with the idea of reversing the color progression of ranks for my students in my academy as a form of protest. I would have the beginners wear black belts, then be promoted to brown, and so on, until finally achieving the exalted status of white belt. I never acted on this subversive notion, but I mention it as an illustration of the strong feelings I had on the matter for a long time. As a matter of fact, I spent the better part of a decade not using a ranking structure at all in my school. So, in conclusion, 1. Belt ranking is not universal in the martial arts. 2. Belt ranking is not ancient, and is in fact only a bit over a century old. 3. Belt ranking stems originally from the Japanese martial arts and tends to remain confined to the Japanese, Okinawan, Korean, and Brazilian martial arts. 4. It appears that belt ranking can be a powerful tool for good or for bad. 5. Belt ranking is only as meaningful as the standards upheld by a given style, and in the final analysis, has its greatest meaning only when comparing yourself to yourself. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Marshall Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.